In Romans chapter 12, I want to read the very first two verses, verse 1 and 2, to begin our message this morning. We're titling the message Martial Arts, or the Art of War, or we could say the dangers of martial arts. And it's going to be in a new year before I preach the message on yoga and the new movie that's not new now, that Disney had put out, Frozen. I'm going to preach on both of those as we get into a new year somewhere at that time. But it takes so much research because last Sunday, you just get up and preach. I just preached out of God's Word. You don't have to worry about quoting others or documenting anything except the Scriptures. But when you preach on a subject like this, you have to document things. You have to make sure that you've got you quote people the proper way, or you'll have a lot of people get angry with it. They'll get angry anyway, but at least you can stand your ground when you've documented things. So it takes much research and many hours to do so. I want you to notice with me as we come here, I'm going to read these first two verses. Now, let me just say this. I would be happy to discuss this. And I know nobody in this church has a problem with this, but I'd be happy to debate this as long as it's debated on a scriptural basis. Some of our related sermons in the last 5-6 years would be non-resistance, war, atrocities of war, war no more, sports, the Olympics, football, entertainment, and the early church beliefs and practices. Those are just a few sermons that would be related to what we're looking at this morning. You'll notice he says here, God says here through the handwriting of the Apostle Paul, he said in verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we just pray this morning that you speak to our hearts. Help us as we look into the scripture and as we look into this subject. And Lord, we just pray now for your anointing and blessing to be upon the reading of scripture. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you for giving us the privilege to assemble together here today. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Again, I preach about 10 messages a year on some things that you don't hear much about, but they're important things. And they are things that the Scriptures do address. These sermons I mentioned a moment ago, many of them also have articles, the one on sports and the Olympics and different subjects like that. We not only have a sermon, but we have articles as well. I have a lot of resources. I'm not going to call these out from the pulpit, but I have several resources where if anybody wants to pursue this, I can give you a ton of material, really good material, whereby you can search these things out and know whether they're so or not. 5 years ago, I was preaching a message. I can't even tell you the title of message this morning. I was preaching a message and I got off for just a few moments on the subject of martial arts. I got a phone call from the West Coast and a man wanted to debate with me over the subject. We spent some time together on the phone. He hung up. About a week later, he called me back and he told me, he said, I'm getting rid of all of the things, the medals and the belts and the uniforms and all of those things. He had been an instructor, had been in this for over 50 years. And he says to me, he said, you're right. I never did pursue it to ask him if he did get rid of those things. It really didn't matter to me. But I have dealt with this before in the past, not only just 5 years ago, but even before that. Now, we're going to begin here in Romans chapter 12. And one of the reasons I wanted to begin here is because it speaks of the presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, it also speaks of the renewing of our mind and not being conformed to the world. And it speaks of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so this is a good place to start for any sermon, but especially for our sermon today. Now, when we come to this, what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to make mention a little bit later of a few of the martial arts. There's so many, and so many variations and styles and names. I'm going to mention a few. But the two that I'm going to focus in on mostly would be karate and taekwondo, because I have been associated with them over the years. When I was in the Navy and also the Army, the 10 years of service, I was had a little bit of connection. I've even sparred with a couple of experts before, and you know how that turned out. But anyway, I'm a little bit familiar with those two more than I am anything else that we could consider this morning. When we talk about the martial arts, keep in mind that they are diametrically opposed to Jesus Christ and Christianity. They are not compatible in any way. Martial arts is much more than exercise or science and techniques. As a matter of fact, the martial arts did not originate in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, some of the arguments, I'm going to get to my outline here in just a moment, and you have it in print form. But some of the arguments today, I believe, are very shallow. We seem to have a tendency to Christianize everything today. For instance, there is Christian rock, and you and I know there's no such thing. There's Christian tattoos. There's Christian sports. There's even, I heard a few years ago, of Christian prostitution, Christian cigarettes and drugs, Christian astrology, and on and on and on. Anytime somebody wants to do something, they'll find a way to justify it and to say that it's okay. There are many local instructors in the martial arts, in all of the martial arts, especially in America, that are not Hindu or Buddhist or whatever, and they will try to argue the fact that, well, I'm a Christian and I'm an instructor and I'm involved in the martial arts, so it must be okay. Well, that same argument is used when it comes to Freemasonry. I know of Masonic lodges in this county and in this state that has a Bible on the altar. And still yet, you go to Atlanta and you can find the Quran and the Bible and anything else on those altars. In other words, the Masonic lodge is evil and wicked. It don't matter what you say about it, or you can join it and carry your Bible in there. It's still evil and wicked. And the same is true with martial arts. Some say, well, the devil stole the martial arts and we need to get it back, just like they do with the astrology and the supposed gospel and the stars and all those kind of things. Well, I wish Christians would approach the Bible and approach these kind of issues, and they would rather be safe than sorry. You understand what I'm saying? I wish we'd approach things that way. In other words, I'd rather be safe than sorry, but that's not the way it is many times. And I'm going to tell you right now that if you enjoy seeing someone get hit or kicked or knocked down, you need to get saved. I'm just going to say that right now. If you enjoy that, you need to be born again. I heard a preacher say not long ago that he loved to watch cage fighting and boxing. That's the mixed martial arts. I'm not going to touch that this morning, because if you don't know that's wicked, you truly need to get saved. So we're dealing with just simply martial arts this morning. Now, I have several testimonies. We're going to get in this outline. And again, this ought to be a four-part series. I want to do it in one sermon if I can. But I have many testimonies. I have a testimony here that was sent to me last month from a man in Tennessee that was involved in the martial arts. He listens to us online. He heard me say I was going to preach on this. He said that he was heavily involved in it in the mid-1980s during the ninja craze, And he said that his parents didn't know any better. They put him in there at 10 years of age. And he said it basically destroyed his whole thinking, his mindsets, led him in meditation, mysticism, until he was converted at age 27 and he came out of the martial arts. Another man here that, again, I have his CDs and articles by him. This man here was, he made a living in martial arts for many years. And his name is Eric Wilson. And when he was converted, he came out of it and began producing videos and CDs and books against the martial arts. Another man, I'm not even going to call his name. I have it here if you want the resources. This man has a 2-hour sermon. And when he was a child, he was placed in Taekwondo and by his parents. And, of course, he was converted later on and got away from that. Several ministers here I've got mentioned, but there's one in particular that I want to focus on. And this man here, I have his web page and interview on video and all of this if anybody wanted this. And he was a highly ranked instructor in karate. And he's written a book on martial arts and yoga, and is now, of course, now he's a minister, at least a speaker. And the book is titled Shocking Secrets Behind Martial Arts and Yoga. And he burned, once he was converted, he burned everything, his trophies, his medals, and everything. And he was, his martial arts, he was a master status, fifth degree black belt. He won 5 national titles, 5 gold medals. He taught in 4 universities, trained law enforcement, had his own dojo. He made a living in the martial arts, made a good living, and he got saved. See, that messes everything up, don't it? You know, when it comes to the world, he got saved and born again, and gloriously born again, let me say. Radically born again, truly born again. And here's what he did when he got saved. He had to quit. He said his Christian faith did not line up with what went on in the ring, for his desire was not to embrace his opponent, as scriptures say, but to destroy his opponent. And he was at a tournament. He gotten saved. He's still teaching. He's at a tournament with some children, that he's been training. And he said that he saw the faces and looked into the eyes of the kids as they were sparring with one another. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, "Is this what you want?" And he got up and stopped the match and asked the audience, "Is this what you want for your children?" And he quit and got out of it within a matter of months after they just converted. And he said this, as well as Eric, the other fellow that's masters in this, black belts had taught this. He said, "I will not use my training in the martial arts to defend myself ever." He said, "I will trust in the power of God." A lot of people say, "Well, I'm just doing it for self-defense." He says here in our text again, notice as we read this, he said here in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." In our text, he's dealing with our bodies, and he's dealing with our mind. That's the reason I'm going to give you this outline here. In other words, number one, martial arts. I'm talking about the trinity of martial arts. Martial arts are based on war and violence. That has to do with body, the physical training. The second point this morning is martial arts create a prideful disposition. That has to do with the mind, mental training. Number three, martial arts are rooted in false religions. Has to do with the spirit. In other words, spiritual training. The trinity of martial arts. I read an article, I'd already settled on this outline, and then I found an article that was very intriguing to me because it's titled The Trinity of Martial Arts, and it spoke of the philosophy of martial arts is to develop the body, mind, and spirit. And this is only a partial quote. In other words, to be balanced as a martial artist, this unity and harmony of these three create a total person and eventually create a master. In other words, the body, when we talk about the body, we're talking about developing. It's developed through physical training. Much exercise, training to give you strength, endurance, and power and physical ability. Literally, hours of training goes in to martial arts. Literally, hours of training, usually on a weekly basis. Then the mind is developed through mental training. And this includes meditation, which becomes one of the most important parts of the student's training, so they can focus their mind in coordination. I'm going to talk about meditation if we have time a little bit later. But the mind must be trained through teaching, techniques, science, history, and so forth. And so you have that. And then the spirit, this article said it's developed through spiritual training. The goal is personal improvement through a firm foundation of beliefs to guide the student throughout life. And then it says this includes codes of conduct, virtues, tenets to live by. And here's a quote from this article said, together, talking about the body, mind, and spirit, together they form the foundation of all Korean martial arts philosophy. So I believe I'm settled on a good outline this morning. Now, in our text, we find in verse 1 that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and he said, which is your reasonable service. And then he says in verse 3, and be not conformed to this world. James 4:4 says that you cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. And he says, but be transformed, that is, to be changed by the renewing, notice, of your mind. And he said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I preached a week or so ago on the will of God. We need to know what is the will of God. And so we're looking at the physical aspect, the mental aspect, and also the spiritual aspect of training when it comes to martial arts. Now, I'm going to get this outline in just a moment, and I'm going to try to get this all in one sermon. If not, we'll come back and finish it later. But when we look at this, notice with me, even in Romans chapter 13, he tells us in verse 12, the latter part of that verse, let us put on the armor of light. And then he says in verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Notice he said, put on the armor of light and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh. Notice with me in chapter 12. In chapter 12, we read in verse 14, he said, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Come down with me to verse 17. I'm going to read from verse 17. Now, he says here in verse 17, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men, dearly beloved. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You don't need anything else this morning to know that this whole concept in the martial arts is wicked and it's out of hell. Now, Hollywood, back especially in the 80s, popularized this whole concept of martial arts in America. Back in 1971, there's a movie, Billy Jack. I never did see any of these movies I'm going to mention to you, but I know what they were about. Then later, you had Karate Kid, Karate Girl, Texas Ranger, star Chuck Norris, Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee, Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Power Rangers, and I read this, I don't know where it's true or not, Luke, Skywalker, Star Wars, all of that. In other words, these popularize some of these things, and especially the concept of the Force, which has to do with Eastern mysticism. So we're going to consider the body, the mind, and the spirit. All three has to be trained in martial arts, and when it comes to the child of God, all three is important in us being obedient to the things of God. Now, I said a moment ago, there's different types. There's judo, jiu-jitsu, I believe I said that right, kung fu, karate, taekwondo. There's many others. Some of them I can't even pronounce, but I later on I'll focus in on the two. They all are very similar. They all have the same roots, even though there's different styles and different variations. They are a Trojan horse in the Christian home and in the church and also in America. This has brought Eastern mysticism into our country. Now, not only has Hollywood popularized it, but we find that in the church and businesses and schools and in the military, the Army and Marines now train in this. We find that, I remember years ago, one of my first, second, third year here in Mobile, 23, 24, 25, 26 years ago, there was a performance in Mobile. They call themselves the Power Team. Now, I believe they're still doing these things. And they would be breaking bricks and blocks and boards and ball bats, tearing phone books into bending rebar and bending horseshoes and put on this big show, and then there would be hundreds said they got saved. Well, Scott Walker is one of the testimonies I have here. He said in his church this happened too, and all those said they got saved, you never seen them again. Wasn't that usually what happens with most of this stuff? Well, anyway, even in Bob Jones, I've got an article here laying here. I may read some of it later. But in 1992, there's a picture of a karate team, Champions for Christ. And I got the whole article laying here if we have time to look at it. Also, Christian Martial Arts Association. Then there's a documentary to teach people how to love Christ and love others. It's titled Anointed Fighting Christians. That's the documentary. Jimmy Swaggart has a martial arts center in his campus ministry there in Louisiana. Thousands of churches, not only businesses, and thousands of churches across America have opened their doors to the martial arts. Thousands of them across our land. Yes, and our county as well. Can you see Jesus and the apostles flying through the air, kicking and yelling and screaming and busting bricks and blocks and all these kind of things? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus never trained his disciples to fight in the physical world. He never trained his disciples to do any of these kind of things. This is not something that is to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. This is one of the fastest growing industries. Millions upon millions in at least 140 countries. It's a combination between magic and violence. Again, there's dojos all over America. Now let's get into our outline. We're only 25 minutes into the sermon. All right, notice with me now as we come to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, and I'm going to be reading from verse 21. Let me just read this one verse to begin, and then we'll look at another verse here as well. Our first point is this, in the Trinity of martial arts, is that martial arts, number one, is based on war and violence. In other words, first of all, I want to focus in on bodily training. Okay, training the body. The art of war, it's a combative form of fighting is all it is. Techniques of warfare is what this thing is centered around. Now notice as we come here, I'm going to read just a few verses from here and maybe chapter 5. And by the way, the term, I've read this, the term martial arts denotes the art of war deriving from Mars, martial arts, deriving from Mars, the ancient Roman god of war. That's where the name's supposed to have come from. The title itself presupposes war and violence. The spirit of martial arts is taken from the god of war. All right, now notice with me in verse 21. We've read this many times. We've preached on it. We've written on it. And it says here, "For even hereunto were you called," that is to suffer. The context is suffering. And he said, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." The context is dealing with suffering. So martial arts are based upon war and violence. Okay, that is not New Testament teaching. Even the Olympics, there was a Greek martial arts to mark the end of the Olympics with wrestling and boxing in ancient time. Wrestling and boxing fits in the same category with martial arts. It's trying to hurt somebody else, trying to knock them down, trying to win a battle over them. And this is not anywhere can be found in the Christian concept. Martial arts has to do with a warrior spirit. They refer to themselves sometimes as human weapons. It's the survival of the fittest. It's kicking and hitting or whatever else you can do to bring your opponent down. It's aggression. Matter of fact, one writer says it's aggression. Aggression will develop for defense, eventually goes into offense. You can't have the one without the other. You can't defend without eventually trying to take out the opponent. That's what it's all about. Now, here in this passage, Jesus Christ is our example. And by the way, my enemy and my defense is given clearly to me in chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. You can read that a little bit later today or this week. And it shows us clearly that the devil, he's as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking who he may devour. And the only way to resist him is through drawing nigh unto God and humility. That's what the context tells us, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and that he would exalt us in due time. And so we find that we're to trust the Lord. And you know yourselves, it's not being a man to swing back a fist. And whatever, any child can do that. Any little bitty child can slap back or hit back. They do it all the time. And so we know that that's not a sign of bravery, and that's not a sign of manhood or womanhood. You know who my hero is? It's not Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the apostles and the martyrs. They're the brave ones. Stephen, when he stood before the nation of Israel right before they stoned him and spoke the truth, whereby the apostle Paul later got saved by. His name was Saul. Those are my heroes. My heroes are Jesus Christ. He stood before the court systems and declared the truth of heaven and hell. The apostle Paul and Peter and James, they stood before the magistrates and those who wanted to kill them, and they spoke forth the truth and the power of God. There's my heroes. It's not these stupid idiots that are on television. Well, I want you to notice with me something before we turn away from here. Jesus Christ is my example. Then I am to follow him. And the context is suffering and submission. We're called to follow his example. Jesus taught and practiced nonviolence. This is clear. I mean, show me a verse where otherwise. All right, now I want you to notice that Jesus committed himself to the Father. To trust is more honorable than fighting back. Notice with me as we read in verse 23. He says here in verse 23, notice this carefully, and he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not." But notice it says he committed himself to him, that is the Father, that judgeth righteously. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he's reviled and he's threatened, he's spit upon and so forth, you know what he did? He trusted God. He trusted God. And that's why that he says in Matthew 11:28-29, learn of me. He talks about himself as being meek and lowly and humble, and he says, learn of me. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians, and notice with me in chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, and if you'll write down Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, the Apostle Paul says, be strong in the Lord, and he says, put up on the whole armor of God. And that's something worthy of our study. Now notice with me as we come to 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to be reading in chapter 10, just a few verses. And you see, Jesus never trained his disciples in martial arts or war or even self-defense as far as that's concerned. Nor did the apostles train the church, because we have the teachings of Jesus written down for us through the handwriting of the apostles. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. As a matter of fact, if we began with Jesus' early teachings and end with his last teachings through John in the book of Revelation, from the Sermon on the Mount to the book of Revelation, we'll find his teachings to his followers, and he lifted up a higher standard than what the world goes by. You know what he said? The Beatitudes, one of them says, be peacemakers. We're to be merciful, meek, pure, poor in spirit. He said in verse 11 and 12, Bless them when you're reviled and persecuted. Rejoice and bless them. He said in verses 21 through 26, don't hate. Hatred is forbidden. He said in verse 39, resist not evil. He said in verse 39, turn the other cheek. He said in verse 44, he said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you and do good unto those which persecute you and use you. Chapter 7, verse 12, the golden rule. We use that and we say, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. In other words, Jesus Christ did not have a fighting attitude. He did not demand his rights. He came here for a purpose to serve the Father. He was pleasing unto the Father. And so even the early church, the first 200 and 300 years, you could not join a church if you went to the theaters or you was an actor or you was a gladiator or you was a wrestler or you was a fighter or you was a chariot racer, and the circus then was the chariot races. You couldn't join a church and be baptized and come to the Lord's table if you participated in any of those worldly things. Can I get an amen? Now notice as we come here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We got people, I used it years ago, one verse, well, Jesus told the disciples, buy a sword. Well, there's 11 or 12 disciples there at the time and two swords. They said, we got two. He said, that's sufficient. That is not sufficient for self-defense. So that argument doesn't hold up either. You see, what I'm trying to get across to you is that if we will walk in the power of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will have our defense. And if it's time to be martyred, we'll be martyred. If it's time to defeat our enemy, we will defeat our enemy. Our power is in God. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. Over and over, the Bible speaks of His protection and His power and His presence. And I have seen this work many times. Even since I have been preaching, I've had guns pulled on me. I've been threatened. And I've seen God intervene and just bless and take the fight out of the other individual. I stood with three men one time. This brother was there and threatened to kill me. And one carrying a .357 and standing in the parking lot of the church. By the way, if you want some excitement, become a preacher. I had somebody say, well, I want to do something exciting in life, something that's dangerous. Become a preacher. I mean, and there's some wonderful excitement in that. And I stood in a parking lot. Weren't you there, brother? Stood in a parking lot, three men threatened to kill me, and I walked out and did a prayed rest. If you don't know what that is, that's putting your hands behind your back. And I said, I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. I don't settle disputes this way. I said, do what you need to do. And they couldn't do anything. I also, a little over 10 years ago, there's a black lady backing out of a parking lot in a mobile, and a fellow came in, a white guy, and he hit her, and it didn't hurt either vehicle, and she didn't see him. My wife and I was getting out of the vehicle. We saw the whole thing, and man, he got out and started cussing and went after her. I started praying, I just walked between them. I mean, he's cussing with his fist, and I walked between them, and I put my hand out, and I said, you're not going to hurt the lady. She's crying. I said, don't worry, ma'am. He's not going. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm praying under my breath. I said, oh, God, you got to help me. I need your power now. And this man stopped, and I said, you just need to go home. And he went home. You see, I'm saying to you that we have a power. Listen, I had three men threaten to kill me at the abortion clinic on the street about 8 or 9 years ago, stopped and threatened to kill me, and I just started praying, and man, they sped off. I'm saying to you is that we need to learn to trust God. He's far more powerful than any grand eternal master. He's far more powerful than anyone. And when we come to the Scripture, our warfare is not physical. It is spiritual. I want you, before I read here, I want you to listen to some of the verses. And I want you to think about this. And I jotted some of these down. I got so much stuff laying around here, I'll never get through it all. But I want you to listen to this. In Romans 8, 36 and 37, you figure this out. I've got a message on it if you can't figure it out. He says that we're counted as sheep for the slaughter and yet more than conquerors. You figure that thing out. It's not done in the flesh. The Bible speaks in Romans 10:16 of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace that we believe and preach. In Romans 12:19, we just read it. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. It's not ours. In Romans 13:12, we just read it. Put on the armor of light. You want to arm yourself? Put on the armor of light. People are more concerned about the Second Amendment in America than they are the Holy Ghost. They're more concerned about losing that than they are losing the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is where our power is at. And listen to this. In Romans chapter 13, well, I already gave you that. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 3:17, the way of peace they have not known. That is the lost. In Romans 1:21, they became vain in their imaginations. They worshiped the creature more than the Creator. You see, non-resistance, we're not talking about being passive. I've stepped in between many a person since I've been a Christian to take the blunt of whatever was coming to protect the other individual. I've done this many times. I think that's bravery. I think it's brave to stand for truth and stand and be able to take whatever is coming. And what I've done that many times. I've seen others do that without throwing a blow back to the individual. You see, non-resistance is not being passive. Non-resistance is not a war doctrine. It's a way of life for the Christian. It is to be practiced in time of peace as well as in time of war. And this truth will radicalize or revolutionize your home, your church, and your society. The church in the New Testament never, ever took up the sword to kill anybody and to murder anybody. The church in the New Testament took up the cross and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They took up the cross, not the sword, and following the Lord Jesus Christ, their power was in the gospel and in the word and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and joy and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance in Galatians 5:22 and 23. And I challenge you to go and read what the works of the flesh are. Some of those is wrath and anger and hatred and things of that nature right there. So my first point is martial arts are based on war and violence, which has to do with the training of the body, that is physical training. All right? Physical training. And now notice with me as we read here in 2 Corinthians, the reason I'm coming to this text, our warfare is spiritual. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of light. And be strong in the Lord, spiritually speaking. In other words, in prayer, in praise, in faith, pleading the blood of Christ, doing everything in the name of Christ. That's where our strength, that's where our power is at. 2 Corinthians, you'll notice with me in chapter 10, reading in verse 1. He says in verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." Now, in verse 3 and 4, notice he speaks of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in verse 1. That's a real man, by the way. And he said in verse 3 and 4, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we see clearly that we're in a spiritual warfare. The world is going to fight. The world is going to have violence. The world is going to have hatred. And they're always going to retaliate. But we are in a spiritual warfare. We're working for the kingdom of God. We're serving in God's church. And we have a completely different battle than we see those out here in the world. And we need to understand that. That's a true man and a true woman that can follow the principles that God has given to us in His Word. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is that the martial arts create a prideful disposition. Turn with me, please, to 1 John. And notice with me in 1 John, I'm going to be reading in chapter 2. In 1 John, in chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 15 through verse 17. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in many of the martial arts, they have their code of conduct or their tenets or their student oaths or their virtues or whatever. And every false religion does this. Can I get an amen? Every false religion wants to look good on the outside. Every false religion has their code of conducts or their commandments or whatever, for it makes them look good and it makes the student feel good about themselves. It's a replacement for the things of God. Okay? And so here are just a few. This is a variation of some of the different martial arts. Self-control, loyalty, discipline, courtesy, integrity, trust, perseverance, justice, being a good citizen, loving your country, being patriotic, and on the stuff goes. Okay? This is a substitute for true Christianity. The martial arts says, "We believe in peace," and still yet they teach violence. They say, "We believe in mercy," and yet they show little mercy. I can see through the stupidity of all of this. Most people can't see through it. Even the average Christian cannot see through the pride of life that is associated with the martial arts. I'll give you an example. If we were to close our eyes, and I'm going to ask you to do that, we're not going to get into meditation this morning, but if we were to close your eyes and I say, "Can you pull up an image of martial arts or some martial artist?" Well, you're going to probably pull up some monk in a bathrobe sitting with his legs crossed, looking very humble, and yet he could kill half the world with his fist and feet. It's sort of like the image that the news media or the television tries to portray of the Native Americans. Listen, I'm part Cherokee, so I'm not criticizing the Indians that were in this country. And I do think many of them were done very wrong. But a lot of times when we talk, you know, you might see a picture a Native American. Well, he's sitting on a horse. They didn't have horses till the Europeans came. He's sitting on a horse, and he's looking into the sky, very peaceful, and looking into the sky, worshiping the Great Spirit. Well, it wasn't exactly that away, okay? And neither is this thing with the martial arts. We're talking about number two, martial arts create a prideful disposition. And in other words, this deals with the mind and mental training. Okay? Now, I'm just going to spend just a brief amount of time on this. I'm going to read this and just refer to some scripture. And then we're going to move on to our third point, which is very important. But I'm going to be reading here. I'm going to be talking about a prideful disposition. You know what the martial arts are about, even though they say it's not? It's about me. It's about my abilities and my discipline and my strength. It's like bodybuilding. You know, people in bodybuilding, they stand in front of the mirror, you know, and all these kind of things. It's about me. It's not about anybody else. It's about me. Am I against exercise? You know I'm not against exercise. I believe everybody needs a certain amount of exercise. I think it's very good for you. But here's what I'm getting at. When we come to the martial arts, it has to do with inflated view of self. As a matter of fact, when you study their material, you'll find the word self showing up a lot. Self-confidence, self-improvement, self-esteem, self-defense, self-protection, self-control. That's the opposite of what God says to us. We're not looking for self-esteem in the Christian circles. We're looking to downplay self and put our trust in God. He's the one that lifts us up and encourages us, not through self-inflated views. And so martial arts focuses on abilities, performances, demonstrations, rankings, competitions, belts and trophies and awards. Again, it's about what I can do, my abilities, what I am capable of doing. Even though they have their codes of conduct and their virtues and all of that, that is just a front, because I'm simply saying that the martial arts create a prideful disposition. You can say amen every now and then, because you know I'm telling you the truth. Now notice as I read from 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to read three verses, and I want you to notice in these verses, I'm going to focus in on one of the aspects of the world, and that's the pride of life. Pride is the first sin, the worst sin. It's self-idolatry. Pride keeps people from getting saved, and it keeps Christians from being from serving God as they should. You say, what is pride? Well, pride is associated with accomplishments and talents, pedigree, positions. It's associated with prestige, trying to outshine somebody else. That's why, in other words, it's trying to get the applause of men. That's what it's all about. And we have a forbidden love that's mentioned in our text. Love not the world in here. James 4:4 says, if anyone loves the world, they're an enemy of God. Over and over. When I say the world, I'm not talking about the planets and the birds and the trees. We're talking about this world system that is headed up by Satan, that is in total opposition to God and His Word. That's what we're talking about when we say the world. All right, now notice as I read here in this passage. He says here in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice there's three aspects to the world, three different areas of temptation. Verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm saying to you is that martial arts create a prideful disposition. Everyone I've ever been around over the years, I've seen this. They try to suppress it, but they know they've got an ability that nobody else has or most others don't have. And so it does not create the fruit of the Spirit that I just mentioned to you in Galatians 5, verse 22, and in verse 23. As a matter of fact, and you can write these verses down. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, and the surrounding context. He says, in his weakness is when he was strong in the Lord. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, I will glory in my infirmities, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was a strong warrior for the Lord. He was a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. He fought many battles, but they were not physical battles. So he was a strong man, but he was a little man and a weak man, according to what most say. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible tells us to have humility and lowliness, and that we're to have the mind of Christ. In verse 2 through 5, Christ gave himself as a sacrifice. In verses 5 through 8, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. And verse 8 says he was obedient. So what if Christ had performed the martial arts on the enemy in the Garden of Gethsemane? There would have been no cross. There would have been no salvation. What if he had allowed Peter to go through with the act of cutting the guy's ear off and probably cutting his head off? What if he had allowed that to go through? There would have been no cross. There would have been no Calvary. There would have been no salvation for you and I. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 33, he talks about discipleship, and again he said, take up thy cross, not thy sword, take up thy cross and follow me. He's dealing with self-denial in the passage. John 3:30 said, I must decrease and he must increase. 1 Corinthians 1:29, let no flesh glory in his presence. Romans 1, they worship the creature more than the creator. Galatians 6, the Apostle Paul said, I will glory in the cross. By the way, Samson, he's recorded a number of times in the Bible. I don't know of one Philistine that he ever converted. Very strong man, physically speaking. I know of a coach right now that taught high school, and him and I used to debate this thing years ago. And he talked, he was a coach, he was in high school, he taught football, and he said, well, it teaches a student's discipline. And I said, let's look at the scriptures and see if it does. It teaches them how to knock somebody down. It teaches them how to be macho and not to be a true follower of Jesus Christ and be brave in the spiritual things as far as the scriptures are concerned. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of John in chapter 14. In the book of John in chapter 14, and notice here. Now, I'm just skipping some things and moving on so we don't run out of time. But notice in John chapter 14. Now let's come to our third point now, and I do have some quotes laying here. Let's come to our third point. The first one is the war and violence, that is training the body, the physical training. Number two is the prideful disposition, that's the mind, mental training. Number three is that martial arts, they're rooted in false religions. It has to do with the spirit or a spiritual training. All three of these areas are very dangerous, but this may be the most dangerous. I mean, you think about this, all three of these are very dangerous when it comes to New Testament Christianity. But this third one is very dangerous. Now, I'm going to be reading in John chapter 14, but I want you to understand this morning, martial arts did not originate in the Church of Jesus Christ, so you need to find out where it originated. Martial arts are not rooted in New Testament Christianity. So you need to find out where they came from. The devil has used the martial arts to bring Eastern religion and mysticism into the West, into America. The origin of Eastern and Western martial arts have pagan and demonic roots. That is the bottom line. And all, you know what I've done? In the last 4 weeks, I've been working on this for a month. In the last 4 weeks, I've read over 100 quotes of grand masters or eternal grand masters, as they call themselves. All you've got to do is go and read what those who teach it say. It's like if you want to know what Disney believes, go read their website. You want to know what the Masonic Lodge believes? Go read Albert Pike. Is it Albert Pike? Mackey? Those guys? Go read them. They're the authorities. Just read them. Well, all you got to do is go and look in the Buddhist religion, Zen Buddhist and different things, Hinduism and Thaism, all these kind of things. All you got to do is go and look at the Grand Masters and see what they say about the martial arts. And can I say to you this morning is that the martial arts reject the lordship of Jesus Christ. All other religions reject a supreme God who has a son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died on Calvary's cross to redeem mankind from their sins to escape the judgment that is to come. All other religions deny that. One writer in his book, Peter Lewis, he says that the origin of the martial arts is out of the Shaolin Temple that is in China. He said all of it originated right there. And I know some will argue there's different variations and whatever, but the point is they did not start in the Church of Jesus Christ. The martial arts, many of them, I realize somebody come along and say, well, our group don't do this. You know. But many of them is centered around meditation before and after the practice. Some of them use yoga breathing techniques, seeking inner energy and power. Much emphasis is placed upon the body and the mind, and in many cases even the spirit. And I got a symbol drawn up here, yin yang. This is a dominant symbol, and you got it in your notes. This is a dominant symbol in the martial arts and yoga, as well as the dragon symbol. And what is interesting, I found something here it says the Eastern view, Hinduism, Buddhist, Thaism, view the serpent dragon as positive, and the biblical view, the Bible exposes the serpent dragon as Satan, an evil fallen angel who deceived the first man and woman into sin and death, and then gives the scripture from Genesis 3 to Revelation chapter 12. The dragon in the Eastern view represents a supposedly natural force that assisted in world's creation exists within each person. And when you start studying, I've listened and read behind a lot of gurus and a lot of Zen teachers and these kind of things. And I'm telling you, it's some pretty bizarre stuff. The Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs by John Ankerberg and John Wyndham, it considers the martial arts as forms of spiritual education that function as means towards self-realization or self-enlightenment. In other words, the power is within you. And they also speak of the martial arts. It says, because most martial arts incorporate Eastern teaching techniques, that it's an easy open door into Thaism, Buddhist, Confucius, and other non-Christian religions. And this is true. I've seen this. Chuck Norris. He said that the ancient system of Zen is the core philosophy behind martial arts. He claims to be a Christian, still involved in it. He's done movies, won world championships, all those kind of things. He's a black belt in karate, judo, and taekwondo, and he studied some other arts as well. But he admitted that the ancient system of Zen is the core philosophy behind the martial arts. One writer said one of the greatest gifts of martial arts is that they ultimately guide you to new levels of spirituality. Another writer, he said, meditation is the foundation of all true martial arts. Another writer that is for martial arts, he said, if you're Jewish, Christian, or Muslim, you should be aware that practicing certain martial arts and their related religious rituals may be considered sacrilege. But he's still for it. Another writer that's for martial arts, he said, in martial arts, religion has equally important role. It was crucial in the historical development of many arts, and it continues to dictate the way in which many students think and act during practice sessions. More than a few Western students have converted to an Eastern religion simply because of their martial art grew from that spiritual tradition. And he supports the martial arts, but he's being honest, and most Christians will not be honest that are involved in it. So all religions reject the lordship of Jesus Christ. All other religions, no matter where they come from. And the martial arts offers enlightenment and spiritual illumination. Taoism is the teaching that there is no personal God in the force behind, is rather the force behind most or not or all, this writer says, of martial arts. So we're talking about something that is very dangerous. Not only the physical training of being able to hurt or even kill somebody, and then the mental training that's going to puff me up, and I don't care how you bend over your shoulders and try to look humble, you know, it still creates a prideful spirit when you know you can take somebody else out. And then number three, the spiritual aspect of it. Let me tell you what it will do. It will, if you are a Christian, it will destroy your testimony and rob you of your spiritual walk with God. And if you're not a Christian, it could keep you from ever becoming one. This is how dangerous that it is and the things that I have studied in association with it. As a matter of fact, karate, one writer said this, he said, it was handed down centuries ago from Zen master to Buddhist monk by word of mouth, always in the strict secrecy. Even today, everything done in karate can be traced back to the same principle of Zen Buddhism. Karate is clearly a mental and moral exercise, indeed a spiritual experience. In each practice session, there is a concerted effort to unite mind, spirit, and body as sought by Zen priests. And another writer says that karate is Zen, which is a school of Buddhism that has been called the religion of immediate reality. And then here's the article of Bob Jones back in 1972 with their karate team. See, it's in the Christian colleges, it is in the churches, it's in businesses, it's in the military, and everywhere you turn today, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. And it's opening up the door to these things I've been talking to you about. Taekwondo, rooted in Eastern religion and mysticism, and the philosophy is really based on the yin-yang theories that got drawn out up here. The father of Taekwondo in America, the father of American Taekwondo in the 60s, 1960s, he's dead now, but his name is John Ree, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he brought it here in the 60s. He was a grandmaster, 10th degree, black belt. I'm thinking that as far as that's the top. He is a motivational speaker. I've listened to many of his speeches. And I found this out. I was talking to Brother Ernie about this morning, and I said, let me tell you something you may not know. I said, this man was a former Mooney. He was a part of the unification church. And that church had an association, and he with the creating of American Taekwondo. And so he was a grandmaster. He claimed to be a Christian, but denied the deity of Christ, and he believed in religious pluralism. And I listened to enough of his speeches to know that he was not a Christian and that he denied the lordship of Jesus Christ. One of his quotes was, "To know God, you must know yourself, then you can know God." And he says that the instructors have a constitutional right to teach their respective religious beliefs in their studios. And I have some other quotes here by some others that were involved in Taekwondo. And when this article is written, there's over 20 million in 140 countries. Talking about the karate, taekwondo, judo, all of these have grown by leaps and bounds. There is a religious aspect of these. The meditation, I'm going to skip that for now. You know what biblical meditation is. We preached on it. We've written on it. You know, you're to fill your mind with God and His Word and think about Him. That's not true when it comes to martial arts and yoga and Zen, and the Buddhists and the Hindus and all of these others. That's not what they classify as meditation. Okay? So we'll pick that up when we deal with the subject of yoga. What are some of the dangers? What are some of the dangers? Well, it creates a competitive spirit, which is contrary to New Testament Christianity. It causes cross-dressing, by the way, among the women. Can I get an amen? It causes that. Okay? All you got to do is look at their uniforms. It opens the doors to the occult. It grieves the Lord. It unites you with the lost. There's a brotherhood among them. They become very close. The music in their tournaments is normally horrible. It violates New Testament teaching of turning the other cheek. It causes you to think of yourself more than you think of God, and it'll affect your walk with the Lord. That's just the bottom line. It'll destroy your testimony. Now, you can go put on a show in a church or in a Christian school or in a gymnasium, whatever, and you can bust blocks with your head and kick boards and you know, and have your Bible in your hand. I'm sorry, that's not of God. It's not of God. Now, before I finish here this morning, let me talk about this symbol. How many have seen the symbol? It's on the Korean flag and a little bit different design. I think it's even on the Pepsi can. I'm not sure, but anyway, I haven't drank a Coca-Cola or Pepsi in so many years. But anyway, this is a dominant sign in the martial arts and also the dragon. You know what the Bible says about that, see? The occult circle symbol constantly appears on martial arts websites and brochures, and I could even show you some right here if you wanted to see them. I've copied them off. Now, it's a magical symbol of the occult and the New Age. It's been around for hundreds of years. It's a symbol of Taoism. The circle divided the light and the dark. Now think about this. I'm going to read a couple of quotes here. Notice how it's laid out. It's a circle and this S shape inside, that's important too. One side is black with a little white spot or dot in it. The other side is white. What's inside of it? Black. The mixture of black and white. Okay, that's important because it's the ancient symbol of contrast. Now, listen to this. Now, before I read the quotes, listen to this. This philosophy denies the deity of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:16. This philosophy denies absolute truth. This philosophy is going to teach us that you have to have the black and the white, the good and the evil. You have to have that in order to have harmony in the universe. But that's not what my Bible says. In 1 John 1:5, we find clearly that it says God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So this is a wicked symbol. It's an occult symbol. The astrologers love this symbol, and the sorcerers use this symbol, and the New Age use this symbol, and Eastern mysticism and religions use this symbol. And it's one of the major symbols, that with the dragon, on martial arts, yes, karate, taekwondo, and many of the others. I can prove it. I have them right here. Judo, it don't matter where you go, you're probably going to find this symbol along with the dragon. A few quotes. The yin-yang, it dates back many centuries and have been identified with Eastern religions of Confucianism, I didn't say that right, Buddhist, Taoism, and has been adopted by astrology, witchcraft, and sorcery. The philosophy, now this philosophy, the yin-yang, this philosophy is meant to explain the mystery of God, of good, not God, but the mystery of good and evil apart from the scripture. By saying these opposites exist in all life and that the opposite coexist together and support one another. It is the theory of dualism. The visible world consists of opposite and yet the two are equal and supporting forces in purpose and power. Both are necessary to maintain harmony for life to exist. The two powers are symbolized in light and dark, good and evil, male and female, water and fire, and heaven and earth. This balance is expressed in nature and can be reflected in our lives. If we lose this natural balance, we have lost our way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says in verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now I want you to listen to this. I got just a few more minutes here. I want you to listen to this. And I'm not even getting into the animal styles of the arts. Y'all ought to just take a look at that sometime. The animal styles of the ark, which is very pagan. Colossians chapter 2, we're told not to be robbed of our Christianity. Let no man spoil you. And through philosophy and vain deceit and so forth. It will harm our faith. It'll harm our testimony. It'll make us useless for the kingdom of God. One writer said, the river is wet. If you set foot in it, sooner or later you get soaked. And how true that this is. We're in a spiritual warfare. Hey, you want to train for battle? Learn how to pray. Learn how to get in touch with God. Learn how to fast. You can talk about fasting. The most Christian, you feel like you've just took a trip from Pluto to Earth because half the people have never done it and don't even know what it is. Learn the scripture. Learn to be obedient. We're told to come out from among them and be separate. We're told, we know that the devil masks everything in, that is evil. He's considered as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians. I just think a lot of people need to get saved. I do. Turn with me to John 8. We're going to close here. Listen, one more quote real quickly. The necessity of combination of good and evil. It says, Star Wars, Lord of Rings, Narnia, The Matrix promote belief that there is a good side and dark side in everything in the universe. Even the Wizard of Oz mingled good and evil. Example, the good witch of the East and the evil witch of the West. But, the writer says, they were both evil because they were practicing witchcraft and magic, which the Bible forbids. There is no such thing as white magic versus black magic. It's all magic. And Bruce Lee, before he died many years ago, and here's some of the stupid philosophy of the martial arts and other things. He said, this is quote, the only thing that does not change is that everything changes. Isn't that profound and stupid and contrary to the Word of God? John chapter 8, notice with me. John chapter 8, I'm going to be reading in verse 36. You see, no man can serve two masters. Matthew 6, 24. Matthew 23, 8 and 9, call no man master. Christ only is Lord and Master. John 13, 13, Jesus is Lord and Master, He says unto His disciples. The gospel is designed to restore man to the image of God. Not to the image of anything else, but to the image of God. We need not learn the way of the heathen. We need to trust God. Elijah said in 1 Kings 18 about verse 21, said, how halt ye between two opinions? In other words, if the Lord be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve him. They answered Him not a word. Because they're mixing the holy and profane. They're mixing together the clean and the unclean. Jesus said here in John chapter 8 and verse 36, He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And in the context, the truth will make us free. And they cried out in verse 33 and said, we were never in bondage. The Jews were in bondage to sin. They were in bondage to Judaism, apostate Judaism. They were in bondage to the Roman Empire. And they looked Jesus in the face and said, we were never in bondage. And they rebelled against Him. There's freedom and truth in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. Only in Jesus Christ. And we need to prove all things, as in 1 Timothy 5:21, anything we get involved in, we need to prove it to know whether it is right or whether it is wrong. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? If you'll stand with me, please. Father, we thank You this morning for loving us. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that You've given us, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And God, I pray for anyone that will listen to this sermon, they'll take heed to these things that You've given us in Your Word. Lord, we pray that Your will to be done in each of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.